Psalm says, for everything we praise your name. And so, Lord God, we bless you. We thank you for our children who stand up bravely and read and come to serve you, Lord God, from a young age. We pray blessings upon them. And God, for all of our members who are here, your creation, we thank you for your presence here among us. And today we remember the earth and this gift of the earth that you've given us, and we pray that you will motivate us and encourage us to take care of it, better care of it for those who are yet to come. Lord, speak to our hearts now as you are our creator and our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so today my sermon title is Divine Regifting. And you know, I'm just going to put these things in order. I didn't a while ago. But we all know about regifting, don't we? Well, you know, many of us, I will speak for myself, either you get something that you like so much, you don't want to give it to anyone else. You know, I have a tendency when I go away, and I'll do this, especially Ellen will see me and she'll say, oh, that's a nice necklace you're wearing, or a nice earring. Because, you know, everywhere I go, I shop. If you don't know that, I'm helping the world economy. Nation by nation. And I always say I'm not going to shop. When I came back from India, I almost brought all of Delhi. Every little chain. And so I come back and I'm wearing something, and Ellen will say, that's so nice. She says, that's a lovely earring. And I think in my heart, I should give it to her. But I can't. Because I like it so much. I'm telling you the truth. I look at it and she tells me 2 times and I says, I want to give her and I can't. So sometimes when I have something like this little bracelet I pick up in the Philippines and everybody I go on mission, I am a good mission person, but Lord knows I don't know how to stop shopping. Soon as we get to mission and we're working, no matter where we're working, I'm saying, what day is a shopping day? I don't care how hard I work in the fields, they make me carry cement and all that. I'm just waiting for the shopping day. So I go and I get this nice little bracelet. It was in the Philippines. And you know, 2-3 people have told me they like the bracelet. And I keep saying, please stop telling me you like it because I can't give it to you. So, be quiet. And so sometimes when I like something real well, I buy 2 of them. Have you ever done that? You know, overseas, they're not that expensive there. I'll buy 2 scarves because just in case I'm going to give it to the person because I always buy what I like. But I know about regifting because I've got some things that, Lord knows, the moment I get it, I thought, where is the return receipt? Come on now, you all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Where is the return receipt? And when you can't find it, I says, I'm gonna give this little gift to so-and-so. And I'm making sure it's not the same person who gave it to me. You know, you have to make sure you have to write their name on what they give you. Have you ever done that? I gave something back to somebody and she got so mad she didn't talk to me for months. But she had given it to me. So we know that regifting, we know what regifting is. When we give in the act of taking a gift that we have received and given it to somebody else because we don't like it. Right? We know that. Aren't you all guilty? I'm the only one guilty here. Because I'm confessing. You're all guilty. We have regifted. And in the old days, in the olden days for the young people, when you didn't have a registrar. You remember when you get married? When I got married in 1902, there was no registrar. And then you got married and you got 4 punch bowls, 50 coffee pots. Did you all get that? That isn't for the young people, 1902. Now you go on a registrar and you put what you want, right? So you just get the right thing. But in those days, you had so many punch bowls. And to begin with, you don't even like the punch bowls. And you have to re-gift. That is re-gifting. Today, we have the earth. And we can't re-gift it. It is a divine gift. And so, I want to speak a little bit on why we call it Earth Sunday. Today is Earth Day or Earth Sunday. And it is April 23rd, is designated as the Festival of God's Creation on the official United Methodist calendar. And then what is this? The United Methodist Church designates, along with other churches, I'm sure, designates one Sunday each year, preferable the Sunday closest to Earth Day, April 22nd, as a festival of God's creation, celebrating God's gracious work in creating the earth and all living things. The purpose for this is that the United Methodist Church believes that, you know, we should always understand that this is God's creation for us. To us, a gift to us, a gift to us, to all of us. And many congregations recognize this day in worship. Others have special events or projects to observe it. And so today we are remembering the earth in worship. And over it, my statistics says, organizers anticipate that more than 1 billion people around the globe will take part in events this year engaging in environmental issues. And so we praise the Lord for the earth. And we join the psalmist as we heard the Psalter. What a beautiful Psalter. Well, as we join the Psalter, we heard the Psalter says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the hosts. And what are we praising him for? We are praising him for the sun and the moon. We are praising him for the shining star, for the high heavens, for the waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth. You see monsters and so on. All of us are commanded to praise the Lord. And as you walk from your houses today to come to church, I'm hoping that on a lovely day like today, that you are enjoying God's creation, a nice sunny day that God has created for us. And so on this Sunday, it is a joyful Sunday because we are blessed people. We are blessed people because, guess what? Last week we remembered that Jesus came to save us. We are Easter people. You know that we Methodists, I explained it to the deacon. I did a wedding with a Roman Catholic deacon. We shared in the wedding ceremony. He couldn't, you know, we shared together, and he was asking me some questions. He has become my new friend, another new friend I have. That I, you know, as soon as I meet someone, we're going out to have something to eat, as always. But anyway. And we're going to be eating of God's creation. And so we'll be celebrating. But I was explaining to him why we don't wear the crucifix on the cross normally. We don't wear it most. And in most Methodist churches, you don't see. Because we believe it's not that we're different. Our emphasis on not the crucifixion, our emphasis on the resurrection. So we are called, we say we're Easter people. Right? Easter people, that song says, sing, raise your voices or something like that. We believe that Christ is risen. And so normally, if you see, I only have one cross with Christ on it. And it was given to me by a friend who is Roman Catholic, which I wear every now and then. It's real big. And I'll wear it in a service. But we truly believe that Christ is risen. And so we have a lot to be joyful for. And I'm glad that Creation Sunday falls after Easter. Because we know that we are saved, we Easter people, we are excited. Last week we know that he's risen, Christ is, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow, and because he lives, we have a hope for tomorrow. So friends, with this gift from God, we have a responsibility, right? We have a responsibility for the earth. We have a responsibility to do great things in the earth. And we remember the psalmist says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, right? The earth is the Lord and all that is in it. And it continues, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on And he has established it on the rivers. So we know that the earth belongs to the Lord, don't we? We truly believe that, and we know that it does, and we celebrate it always because we are Christians believers. Now, friends, so my sermon title is Divine Regifting, and I'm going to explain later on what divine regifting means, right? What it means. You can start thinking about it. And we know that there are those folks who believe in the Big Bang. First, when I said the Big Bang Theory, guess what came up on the thing? The show. I kept Googling the Big Bang Theory. I says, why does it keep going on that CBS show? So I had to Google the Big Bang. Do you see? Because if you put the theory, but anyhow, we know that there are scientists who are, you have gathered evidence, lots of evidence in the formation about the universe, and they have used the observation to develop a theory called the Big Bang. And it states, you know, that theory states that 13.7 billion years ago, all the matter of the universe was concentrated in a single incredible tiny point. And then it went bang. And here we are. But for those of us who are creationists, now I don't know if I'm a creationist. All I know is that I believe that God created the universe. They call me whatever they want, call me not very bright, it's okay. I believe as a creationist is, creationism is a religion, the religious belief that the universe and life originated from specific acts of divine creation, as opposed to the scientific conclusion that they come about through natural processes. But I do believe that science and creation comes together because God is over everything, right? God came before science. Do we believe that? We who are creationists, we who believe that God created heavens and earth, we certainly believe that science come before, you know, creation came before science. The other folks, the scientists, many scientists don't believe that. Not all scientists, because there are scientists who are Christians and who do believe that God created the heaven and the earth. And so for someone like me who believe that God created all of this, created the very soil, you know, once a guy had told me that a scientist said, they were saying, oh, you know, we believe that soil, you know, that God took the soil and made human being and the earth. He says, anybody could do it. They could do it. And I says, but who's going to make the soil? Somebody had to create the soil, don't they, the earth. And so we who believe that, we believe that it began in Genesis. And we read in Genesis, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered it. And that's what the young child was trying to tell us just now. We believe that God created it and in the face of the deep, and while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, and that's the beginning. Now, it seems like a simple story, and folks, you know, say to us, you're simplifying the creation. But listen, we believe the Bible. We believe the entire Bible. We can't choose what to believe or not to believe. We either don't believe it or you believe it. Yesterday we have been being trained for 2 days how to do healing powerfully. And we're going to be walking the streets today. If you see us getting arrested and there's a bunch of Methodists getting arrested, I'm going to be having a sign and James them and a bunch of us are walking. You know that we're doing God's work. We are God's creation, and we'll be bringing the gospel, we'll be walking from here. There'll be other Methodists joining us here from other churches, and we'll be trying to spread the gospel in the name of Jesus throughout this neighborhood. We will go up to the train station and beyond. Pray for us. But the trainer said to us yesterday, one of the words that he said to us, and which reminded us that we believe the Bible. Either we believe the Bible, or we don't believe the Bible. We can't believe some of the Bible and don't believe the rest of the Bible. Do you see? So I choose to believe all of the Bible. I don't pick and choose. So we do believe that God created the entire universe. God left us this marvelous, wonderful gift that we now have. And thus, to the answer to many folks, God has an answer, and this is the answer God would have to Job. Now, we know that Job had a lot of problems. Job was in terrible pain, lost his family and so on, and Job was, I would say Job was angry with God, because the text doesn't say that, but Job would question God, right? At some point, Job questioned God like we would have. Why me? You know, in a sense, he didn't say that. After his friends, you know, his friends came up on him and all of that, and they were trying to, his friends, Elihu and all of them, point their fingers at him like, you did something, you must have did something wrong to let this happen. Job went to God, finally, and began to ask God why this would happen. And God will say to Job, as God say to us, When we question God about the creation, or we could just hear God in heaven when we are saying, oh, God didn't create. God will question the young, the children read this. The Lord answers Job. And God was not concerned at this moment that Job was hurting. God was answering Job because God cared for Job and loved Job and will restore Job. And the Bible says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And he says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. And then God is going to ask him the question, Mink, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? That's the question God asks for all of us. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Well, great passage in the Bible. It's very long. It's from Job 38 to 39. It's two. I just gave a few verses this morning. He says, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sung? Who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst out of the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no further. And here shall your proud waves be stopped. So God in his words was asking, who told the sea to stop? Who told the water to stop and say, this is land and this is water? Did you do it, Job? Right? Who flung the stars into the heaven and says, star, you come out at night. And right? Moon, you come out at night. And sun, you come out at day. Who did it? Right? Folks will die. Scientists will die. I will die. We all will die. And still this universe continues. God asks us this question. He says, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Who commanded the morning today? We says morning has broken, we sang. Who commanded it? Oh, I love this chapter of, every time I think I'm getting too big for my bridges, I read this in Job to remind me that there's a God over everything who commanded it so that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth. Who did that, Job? And he's going to go on. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And where is the place of darkness that you take it to its territory? And so God is going to continue to, I just love God in that situation. I could just see this loving and awesome God reminding us that all of this was created by him. Every little flower that I fixed up last night was planted by God, was grown by God. This beautiful garden was put together for us. And we are so blessed here on Long Island and living in America and certain this part, even with Sandy and the storms and so on, we have fresh water to drink, right, don't we? We are so blessed. There are places in the world that people are no fresh water. They bathe in the water and then they have to, it's just so sad. And then I saw something on maybe HBO, one of those channels, where there's some of these islands in the sea where a lot of dumping has happened, that the fish of the sea eating plastic, right? The fish are dying because they're eating plastic, because they're dumped. There are pretty soon the places we want to go for beach, we go to these little islands that are surrounded with the Pacific Islands. I think they were in the Pacific, but it would be the Caribbean and so on. And when they drag the sea and or the ocean, drag tons of plastic bottles and cans and things that don't disintegrate comes up. God is going to test us. The other day I was driving down here on 106 and I was behind a guy driving on 106 and through the window I noticed he's throwing the bottles through the window, whatever and something. I thought, where is the garbage pail? Throwing it through the window onto the earth.
What are we going to leave for the next generation? You know, we have got to be good gift receivers. We have received a gift. I told the older people this morning and that have been here longer than us that they have done their best to, you know, to take care of. If we don't watch out, we'll be leaving nothing for the next couple of generations to come. And because we are Easter people and we are saved by grace, we don't have to work for our salvation anymore. We are saved, right? That's what we remembered last week, right? The gospel story for this week is about Jesus going to see his disciples. I didn't want to do that on Creation Sunday. I really want to focus on the creation, right? So that we are reminded of that. Jesus is going to say, "My peace I leave you," huh? And he's going to see them. He went, died for us, gave us the hope for eternal life. But he has given us responsibility, right? He's given to take care of the earth. It drives me crazy around here when I go into places and I see food left in corners. I'm picking up things. I know that Kathy used to know that. I used to say to her, "Why can't we have a garbage pail outside for when the food pantry people come?" I used to get so crazy on a Friday morning. I'd go up there and I'd pick up the, when I'm coming to prayer, and I'm picking up the cigarette butts, and they sit there. God bless them, but they need to be taught. They smoke and their coffee cups. And when I'm coming into prayer at 7, I'm picking them all up in the front. And Sunday mornings, I do the same thing. I miss Bob. Bob Greenbaum used to do it. Friday mornings, right, Kathy? He'd be out there picking up. They just leave the garbage. I can't stand that. I says, "Kathy, we need a garbage pail out there at the front. We got to start putting it back. I don't see it anymore, so that they have a place to put it." They still throw it on the ground. But hopefully, if we keep talking about it, but they just throw it on the ground, we are really just treating this gift of God, right? I wanted to remind you this morning that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's a gift from God. And we should be taking care of this gift. Don't treat it like something somebody gave us and we didn't like and we're going to give it back. We can't give back the earth. The only way we could give it back is when we die. We're not here. And I'm sure we're not ready to die. So we can't give it back. We need to preserve it. We need to take care of it. And we have to take care of it for the next generation and the next generation. Our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. There are places in the world that the garbage people live next to garbage dumps. They don't even understand or they have nowhere to live. They live in plastic houses. You travel in some of these places and there's plastic huts. But here we are in America. We should be at the forefront. And I'm not debating whether someone is believe in global warming or not global warming. I am not debating those things. We have a responsibility to take care of the earth. And we all can do our own little piece. Can't we? Each and every one of us can do our own piece. I don't have enough information to know. I'm not studying global warming, so I don't know. I'm not having enough. That's not my science. And I got enough work, job, taking care of all of you and myself. So that's a big job, taking care of myself and all of you together. All of us together, taking care of each other. And I don't like to talk about things that I do not study or do not know when it's factual. If I'm going to study it, I'm going to study it and I'm going to do a research and I'm going to find pros and cons and I'm going to give you my point of view. So I don't play around with things that I don't know. But one thing I do know is this Bible. And I know what God has said. He created it. And we have, what did God say when he created humanity? He looked at us, man and woman, when he created us, and he says, he made us in his very image, and he says, it's good. It is good. We were his best creation. And then what did he say? He gave us dominion over the earth. That's in Genesis. We have dominion. We are the only created being that God gave dominion to. The dog can't take care of themselves. Yes, they can. But, when we take them and bring them home, they need to be taken care of. Right? And the cats. But we have dominion. God decided at the beginning to put us in partnership with him, with God, for the creation. And we have a great responsibility. And we have a responsibility to teach our children. Right? To do our best to recycle. To do our best to do whatever we can. I was at a place yesterday and we had a lovely meal And I kept saying, it's a big church out on Dixie, one of our church. And I said, where is it? We had all this water bottle we were drinking. I says, and I was pleased to hear a lot of the Methodists, the lay people and the pastors were asking for the recycling bin. That was so, we were all looking around like, where's the recycling bin? Because we were getting trained. We couldn't find one. So I said, when I see the pastor, when I go back to this church, I'm going to encourage them. We're going back tonight. You know, you need to get a recycling bin. Let's make an attempt, right, to do something. Because we want to be able to do, and I'm always, we need a bigger recycling bin downstairs. We have to talk about it. We need a bigger one downstairs, and we need a sign over the recycling bin to say, put our plastic and so here. Sometimes you look in it, there is paper plate, there's food and so on. But it needs to be bigger. It is too small, right? It's too small. Carl, you're back from Florida. I didn't know you could start working already. But Carl, we need a bigger recycling bin, and we need a sign. Because we have to start, and we have to teach our children so that their children and their children would have. This is what divine regifting says. Divine regifting, which I kind of just coined that myself. Divine regifting, yeah, I coined it for my title. I couldn't find it, and I thought, divine says that we have received a gift, freely given, and we're going to give it back, but we're going to take care of it. We're not giving it back because we don't like it. We're giving it to others because we love it. We love it. We love how it has blessed us. We have all been on the cruises to the oceans. We have all been to lovely beaches. We have all walked on the water. We have seen the sunset and the sunrise. We have all experienced it. It has been good to us. Right? We have been blessed here in Long Island thus far. We may have storms and hurricanes and something may happen. Well, we have been blessed. And we love this gift and we want to give it to somebody else. Those who are coming after us. Divine regifting. So each time you think about something, now I know it's going to be hard for us with all the plastic bags. It's going to be very hard for me because I always forget. But I'm going to live by example. So I'm going to have to try my best to remember. And I do have my bags and I never remember. But I've got to train myself because every little thing we do helps. One less piece of plastic. So, my friends, you are Easter people, saved by God's grace. Heaven is a free gift for you. One day we'll leave it and we'll go home to see the Lord. When we look down from heaven, we want to see that this earth is still here and that people are still using it and that we have done our part to save it. We could do that, can't we? Christian believers, Easter people, saved by God's grace. When we stand before God to hear the well done, it's not just one little piece. It will be well done for all that we have done for God's earth. All that we have done, our one little piece for God's earth. Amen. Amen. Amen.